Hello and welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with SBK. And the band is back together, myself and Steve Palmer. Steve, how are you and where have you been?
Hiya, Dave. Yes, long time no see. I think you had a fortnight off, didn't you? Then I had a fortnight off. So, yeah, good to see you. Hope you're well. Yeah, went to Orlando for 10 days. Went to Disney World, Florida. It was a holiday booked about a year ago, actually, when Xander Schauffele won the Open and Nick Dunlap won the Barracuda Championship. I had the double and immediately booked this. Yeah, Schauffele and Dunlap got my family back to Disney World.
Flora, was there the sun went out, mate? No, you look a bit peaky.
I mean, no, that's just I've been back since Friday, returned on Friday, and yeah, that's where the peakiness comes from. But no, seriously hot over there. You know, charging around theme parks, it's a magical place, but it is a test of stamina in like 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, I'm readjusting. It's tough getting your body back. I've got a real appreciation for the golfers. Yeah, the jet lag that the golfers have. If you're jetting all over the world, jet lag is a serious issue. Now, I'm still nowhere near back to English time.
You didn't use the Palmer PJ, no private jet, no?
No. Rory didn't lend me the private jet, unfortunately. I did 10 hours on the plane with a couple of young kids. There was a grueling element too, but it's a magical place, Dave. Place, the most magical place on earth. The Grand Floridian is the best hotel in the world. Thoroughly recommend the Grand Floridian. I needed about a third of my double winnings to fund that, but definitely worth it. But raring to go. Yeah, I've come back with jet lag, but raring to go. Really keen to get back at it. And, three tournaments to attack this week.
There is a lot. I mean, listen, a lot's happened. Happy Gilmore 2 came out. I'm in the office today, and it was only this that reminded me. Someone's put this on my table here, and I might every now and again just go for a little bit of John Daly while I'm here.
Yeah, have a squirt. Might relax you. That came out just before I went off. It's like a religious experience watching that. You know, I watched it with my family, which was a bit of an error at times because some of the content was a bit lewd, but it was unbelievable. My face was just agog. It did feel like a religious experience going through the Happy Gilmore, the fun of Happy Gilmore. It's got mixed reviews in it, but I thought it was absolutely hilarious at times, and all the cameos, just spotting golfers popping up here, there, and everywhere.
I think it's a good film. If you're just looking for a comedy and you might have seen the first, I think some of it might have gone over your head. So,
yeah,
I think
that's where
the reviews come from.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Xander Schauffele added to his. I love Xander Schauffele.
The star of the show, Will Zalatoris.
There was some brilliant cameos. Scotty Scheffler was fantastic. Even Bryson DeChambeau had a couple of funny lines. I thought it was brilliant. And I can't wait to watch it again.
Okay, right. Well, it's lovely to catch up. Let's dive into the action then this week. Before I do, a reminder that SBK have got a wonderful new customer offer for you. All new users will get £40 in free bet when they sign up and bet £10 for the first time. Jump on the website there, betsbk.com, for all the terms and conditions. 18 plus, gamble aware, of course. Right, three to look back on and three to look forward to. We'll start with the Danish, Marco Penge, a 16-1 winner. What did you make of this one, Steve? Did you follow it much? There was to and fro in throughout, really. It looked like I thought Højgaard was going to win it. It's heading into the final day. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm fully abreast of it all now. As I say, I got back on Friday, been trying to absorb all that's happened in the last fortnight. I did sneak a bit of viewing in the Grand Floridian a couple of Sundays back when Justin Rose was winning, because I was just so excited to be able to watch PGA Tour golf during the day. It's quite it's quite exhilarating. But then Tommy Tiger spotted that and went bananas, and he wasn't happy about that, so I had to switch off. But I feel like I've got a handle on it now. Marco Penge, I mean, we're massive Marco Penge fans on Sweet Spot. We said he's one of the best players on the DP World Tour. He's obviously cemented that status now, and he won't be on the DP World Tour for much longer, will he, Dave? It's quite sad for DP World Tour fans that we're going to lose Marco Penge. He's going to get a PGA Tour card through the Race to Dubai ranking. So, his betting days are certainly behind him now. You know, he's going to be getting mega bucks on the PGA Tour. He won't need to worry about busting maximum payouts of bookmakers now. Yeah, I'm pleased for Marco Penge. And you wonder whether he would have got a Ryder Cup spot if it wasn't for all that drama. You know, he's banned for a couple of months, wasn't he? He was banned for a couple of months.
Was it 3 months he was suspended for?
Yeah, I think it was. And, you know, it essentially ruled him out of some decent events. Would it have been enough if he had played well in those 2 months? Would he have got a Ryder Cup spot? It's worth debating, and he'll be wondering himself. But, you know, I wonder whether that time off allowed him to freshen up. And he came back a different player, didn't he? He came back superb from that time off. So who knows? But yeah, I think probably not on the Ryder Cup radar. I think it's just all come a little bit too late for Marco Penge. But yeah, what a player.
Anything else to add?
Well, I mean, the Ryder Cup is the big story. We're getting closer and closer. And I think different players are reacting differently to the pressure. I mean, Matt Wallace was a fascinating example last week. He shot an 81 on Sunday. Matt Wallace got an 81 in Denmark. And, you know, he needs a massive fortnight to get a wild card. Yeah, some players inspired by this Ryder Cup conversation. Some players finding it difficult to hold it together. I mean, the Ryder Cup team.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And the European Ryder Cup team is pretty well set, I'd say, Dave. You know, I'd say there's 11 players that are pretty certain to be on the team now. I think Luke Donald will opt for Matt Fitzpatrick in the other slot. One place up for grabs, I think it's fair to say now. And I think the experience of Matt Fitzpatrick, I think Luke Donald will play it safe and go for him. I'd much prefer him to go with Nicolai Hoggar. You know, I'm desperate to see the Hoggar twins unleashed on Bethpage Black. But, you know, Nicolai needs a spectacular fortnight to get back in with a chance. The American side, very up in the air. But, yeah, we've got plenty of time to discuss all this.
We have Vamos Jimenez getting back in there. Right, shall we move on to the BMW then? You like to go chronological, don't you? So we'll go to the Indianapolis individual. A playoff here. Poor old John Rahm. Well, I say poor old John Rahm because we'll get onto him. And one thing he's not is poor, but turned over in a playoff again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, live Indianapolis, finished just before the BMW Championship. So chronological fans going for that one. And Sebastian Munoz, so pleased for Sebastian Munoz. I mean, he's only 28-1. He had been in good form. Maiden Liv title. He joined Liv for the start of the 2023 season, hadn't won a tournament for 6 years. Emotional scenes, daughter running on the green. It was a good feel good story for Sebastian Munoz, 32-year-old. Yeah, as you say, John Rahm. Yeah, we certainly can't call him poor old John Rahm. But yeah, back to back playoff defeats. I mean, he was gutted. I mean, he won the individual title, which we'll get to. He had a towel over his face. He couldn't believe he'd lost another playoff. I mean, he didn't do a lot wrong in the playoffs. You know, Dean Burmester made a birdie to beat him in Chicago, and Sebastian Munoz made a birdie to beat him in Indianapolis. So John Rahm's gone through the entire LIV season winless, yet has won the individual title through relentless consistency. Wackham Neiman has won 5 titles, 5 of the 13 events.
Which is amazing that he's not won it, yeah.
It does seem frankly ridiculous, but yeah, we have to appreciate the consistency of Rahm. He finished second 4 times. He only finished outside the top 10 once. That was when he finished 11th in LIV Dallas. So yeah, we've seen with the PGA Tour how difficult it is to identify a season-long number one if you want to provide a bit of drama. I mean, we all know Wackham Neiman was the best player on LIV. We all know Scottie Scheffler's the best player on the PGA Tour, but yeah, yeah, the bigwigs want some drama. And if you add drama into the mix, it gets complicated. And you know, the LIV circuit's been getting loads of ridicule for the fact Neiman didn't win the individual title. Yeah, if Scottie Scheffler doesn't win the Tour Championship this week, which is odds on, then, yeah, the ridicule will switch. You know, if Jacob Bridgman is parading the FedEx Cup on Sunday, though, the ridicule will quickly switch from LIV to PGA Tour.
It will indeed. And just how do you, where are we rating the winner at the moment?
Sebastian Munoz. A tidy player, always been had a sharp short game, really brave the way he played those closing holes. You know, he was 2 shots behind with 2 holes to play. Birdie, birdie, birdie. Yeah, you've got to doff caps. Yeah. He's not a player, he's a limited player, but he's a richer man than you or I, Dave.
And as you say, textbook. I mean, have you even won a golf tournament if your wife and child are not running on the green on the 18th? You know, they shouldn't even give you the trophy if that doesn't happen.
There were touching scenes there, Dave. I mean, one of the highlights was Maito Pereira high-fiving this young kid. Munoz's daughter, very young, but he went to the daughter before he went to Munoz. I thought that was a nice touch. Heartwarming scenes if Live Golf can provide us with that. Yeah. I'll come to how angry I was that I had to watch that on the telly. We got a Live preview coming up, and I'll explain how you now have to pay for the honor of watching Live on your phone, as I discovered on Sunday, which I'm pretty angry about.
Right, let's move on to the BMW then. Won by Scotty Scheffler for a change. 15 under par, McIntyre, Bobby Mack, 13 under. McNeely, a good showing from him, 11 under. And Burns and Fleetwood in beyond as well, Tommy Fleetwood, always good for a sort of a place nowadays, not often a win. Yeah. But Scotty Scheffler, the captain, once again.
Yeah, 5-2 winner, I believe. I think most of us wanted to see Bobby McIntyre get the job done.
But yeah.
Such a tough assignment, wasn't it? You've got to rappel the world number one. You've got the crowd against you. Obviously, the Ryder Cup vibes are coming out strong now. And you're carrying your D game going into the final round. I mean, McIntyre was so out of sorts. On Sunday, he hardly hit any good shots. It was a dramatic downturn in form. I wonder whether mental fatigue suddenly hit him. He's had such a crazy schedule over the last few months. We mentioned how active he's been on previous sweet spots. I think playing the Wyndham was a scheduling error. He needed to give himself more time off after the Open. So it seemed like he hit a brick wall of fatigue when he came up against the challenge of rappelling Scheffler. And he couldn't take advantage of Scheffler errors. It's not like Scheffler played particularly well on Sunday.
No.
I mean, some of his short putting was abysmal. But, you know, going up the, that chip in at 17, I mean, that was the, it was amazing that McIntyre was still in it. Going up the 17th hole, McIntyre's still well in it, despite playing as badly as I've ever seen him. But then Scheffler's chip in at 17, that's up there for one of the shots of the season. It's such a tricky spot. Not an ideal lie. I think that'll go down as one of the best shots of the season. Scheffler wins again. I mean, yeah, why did he even need to bother entering last week? I mean, I thought Rory McIlroy made a very shrewd move skipping the first playoff event with the handicap system out the window. No value in playing until the Tour Championship, pretty much. Scheffler wins even though he didn't really need to win. We're all eyes on the caddy situation, Dave.
We'll sort of tackle FedEx standings, handicaps and everything when we get onto the Tour Championship, right? So shall we kind of previewing this week's action? We're at the Belfry, British Masters. Tell us about the track here, Steve.
Yeah, the Brabazon course, the Belfry, Sutton Coldfield, England, 7,356 yards, par 72, 3 par 5s. It's hosted loads of Ryder Cups in the distant past. It hosted the 2020 UK Championship during COVID times and the British Masters several times, including the last four editions. A tough parkland layout, loads of water in play, demands solid ball striking. You've got to churn out greens in regulation. I played it myself. It's a tough course for a amateur player, I can assure you. We got clear, calm, pleasant conditions throughout. I don't think you got much value for money out of going to Florida. I mean, there's been a heat wave here, isn't it? Yeah, the British summer's been pretty amazing, and there's going to be more sunshine coming in England this week. A field of 156 going to post.
Right. You mentioned the last four run-ins. I've got the winners here. Blandy, 2021. Ollison, 2022. Daniel Hillier and Nicholas Højgaard. What sort of player are we looking at here, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, Blandy, very emotional scenes when Blandy won that one. Finally got off the mark. You know, he'd be the one that stands out as the as contrasting from the others there. You know, big hitters that seem to have taken charge at the Belfry. It is a long track. It's a punishing track. You know, so many long par fours can really wear you down. I think strong ball striking and length of the tee is advantageous.
Right, mark it then. Let's have a little look. Matt Fitzpatrick and Aaron Ryan kind of sharing favouritism. Rasmus Højgaard, Marco Penge, Alex Noren, Rasmus Neergaard Pedersen, Jordan Smith, all at the head of the market. Proper market, this one. We'll get onto the Tour Championship, which is not quite 10-1 the field, but this one is. How many in the team, Steve?
Three.
Three. Okay, right. The British Masters. Who is the main bet?
Rasmus Højgaard, who I think has become an absolute certainty for the Ryder Cup team. I think he's going to make his Ryder Cup debut at Bethpage Black. It seems a great chance that Team Europe is identical to the last Team Europe from 2 years ago, apart from a different Højgaard brother. Yeah, I think it could be exactly the same team, apart from Rasmus replacing Nikolai. Rasmus can end all doubt about his participation by finishing in a two-way tie for 29th place or better this week. He knows exactly what he's got to do. I think he'll achieve that comfortably, swinging beautifully. His approach play last week was sublime. He came out on the wrong side of a duel with Marco Pence. You know, no disgrace in that. Two great young talents. Højgaard eagled the final hole, then Pence birdied it to edge him. Second place in Denmark could be followed by a second Belfry victory for Rasmus. He won that 2020 UK Championship, you might remember, during COVID times. That was his second DP World Tour title. He won his fifth DP World Tour title in the Irish Open last September. Do you remember that one? I'll test you again. You remember, he was in a duel with Rory McIlroy in Northern Ireland, and Rasmus Højgaard came out on top in that one. So a prolific DP World Tour champion, still only 24. He's had a solid PGA Tour rookie campaign this year. He had his best major finish the other day, 16th in the Open Championship. Rasmus is ready for the big time. He's ready to tee up for Team Europe. He finished 16th and 3rd in his last two Belfry starts. So great course record. He outscored everybody in the field in the final round last year, Dave. So yeah, I think he's the most likely winner of this tournament.
I like it. Did you, your very able deputy, James Mason, stepped in last week? Even he slipped in her, you may remember. I was thinking, where am I?
No, I'm glad he was testing you, Dave. Yeah, there must be something in that brain box.
Yeah, well, one day we'll find it, one day. Right, that's the main bet then. Who's the next best?
Rasmus Nygaard Petersen. Will we get a Rasmus 1-2 this week, Dave? I think it's entirely feasible. This Ryder Cup has come too soon for Nygaard Petersen, but I fully expect him to be on the team in a couple of years' time. Rock-solid ball striker, three-time winner on the Challenge Tour last year, regular DP World Tour contender since then, a 26-year-old. Surely he'll make his breakthrough soon. Runner-up in the Qatar Masters in February, runner-up in the Puerto Rico Open on the PGA Tour in March, finished 12th in the US Open in June. Magnificent effort. Three of his last four starts have yielded a top 20 finish. The latest was 16th place in Denmark on Sunday. He's got the ideal game for the Belfry. He finished 57th in his only previous start here. That was in 2023. He was outside the world's top 1,000 at the time, had no experience. Now inside the world's top 100, chasing a PGA Tour card. You know, Marco Pence has wrapped his up. Nygaard Petersen just outside those places at the moment. So really focused, really determined. I think he'll get a PGA Tour card through the Race to Dubai rankings. I think he'll strongly contend for a maiden title this Sunday.
Well, if your name's not Rasmus, you're not coming in. That's all we care about this week. Right, they're the first two. Oh, we've got one more, right? We've got one at a big price, Steve. What you got for us?
We got one more. It's slightly bigger price, not a big price. I like a strong three-pronged attack on a trio of Danes. Nikolai Højgaard. We could get a Rasmus 1-2. We could get a Højgaard 1-2. I'm certainly anticipating a Danish 1-2. It's worth noting that three of the last five winners of DP World Tour events at the Belfry have been Danes. I think that statistic could be 4 from 6 come Sunday evening. You know, Nikolai, as we've mentioned, his hopes of retaining his spot on Team Europe hanging by a thread, but it's not over. Just imagine this scenario, Dave. Rasmus seals his automatic qualification on Sunday by 29th or better, but Nikolai wins the tournament. Yeah, suddenly the clamour to unleash the Højgaard twins on Bethpage Black. You know, a campaign which will be led by me. Imagine the clamour. Nikolai will be aware of that potential clamour. They're both playing next week in the European Masters, Dave. So this week's the last week for automatic qualification, but next week you have one last tournament to impress the gaffer, Luke Donald, before he makes his wildcard pick. So both Højgaards are playing next week. Maybe Rasmus will pull out of that if he qualifies. I don't know. So just imagine a scenario where Nikolai wins at the Belfry, wins at Cranthirthier. Rasmus is already on the team. I think even you would have a bit of clamour coming out of you. Now, I know you only get passionate about greyhounds, but I think I'd see some clamour coming out of you. Nicolai Hoggard was fourth in the Scottish Open not long ago, 14th in the Open. Both of the Hoggards had a really solid Open campaign. 34th last week was disappointing in his homeland, but the Belfry suits him much better than last week's course did. Power counts for plenty at the Belfry. He hasn't got that great course record of his brother, but got the same tools to work with. Yeah, I think Nicolai's going to rise to the occasion, deliver a massive performance this week, another one next week. They'll just spur each other on. I think, you know, it's almost a related contingency this week, Dave. Bookmakers are always loving the idea of throwing a related contingency in when...
I think you're going to get the three of them coupled at any stage, yeah.
But, I mean, they could be spurring each other on. Yeah, if Rasmus sees Nicolai on the leaderboard and vice versa, then I think they'll egg each other out. I think the Danes are going to dominate this tournament.
I like that. The power means plenty at the Belfry. Well, there we go. Three Danes. Hopefully to bring on the bacon for Steve there. Anyone else on the radar?
Well, I mean, we have to discuss the two favourites. Has Aaron Rye popped his head into favouritism now? He's been well fancied. I understand why people like him. He's only played once at the Belfry competitively. He finished 15th in that UK Championship. I think he'd be there or thereabouts again. But, yeah, the weather forecast is good. I think a more dynamic driver will leave Aaron Rye behind. And Matt Fitzpatrick, again, I think both those favourites are poor value. I say Fitzpatrick has probably done enough to get in the team now, unless Nicolai Hoggard has a fantastic fortnight. But he's never competed at the Belfry before, Matt Fitzpatrick. So yeah, I could easily leave him alone at those odds,
which is a bit surprising.
Yeah. No, I can leave those two alone and then get stuck into the Danes.
Right, the Danes. Okay, shall we go to the Tour Championship then, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Right. So we're looking at $10 million to the winner, $40 million purse. So big bucks, but it's all change here. Previously, 10 under par, whoever topped the pile and so forth, and handicap. And in recent years, it has been a bit, dare I say, dull and boring. Not the case this time. How do you feel about that? And does it change any which way we attack this golf tournament?
I know I'm in a minority. I preferred the handicap system. I thought the handicap system was fairer. I enjoyed the contrast it gave to the punting community. You know, I'm a punter first, golf fan second. Yeah, as a punter, it's exciting getting a handicap. You know from your greyhounds. I mean, how exciting are handicaps in a greyhound race? Yeah, you know, getting lured in by the quality of the six dog. This was obviously the opposite of a greyhound race. You had the
I
best.
Was going to say, yeah, they don't get Scottish Heffler sort of off the front, yeah, like they do. Yeah,
no, exactly, yeah. Exactly. But then obviously, you know, as a punter, you had that decision to make. You know, do you take the short price about the class act at the front of the field? I thought it was a fascinating puzzle. I loved back in Dustin Johnson when he was at the head of the grid. I thought it was one of the best bets I've ever had. The handicap system has been in place from 2019 to last year. So it was in place for a long time. It took him a long time.
What price would Scotty Scheffler be off a start then this year?
He'd be odds on, wouldn't he? I mean, he would be odds on. I think it's taken him a long time to decide it doesn't work, you know, 2019 to 2024. And they've suddenly thought, no, it doesn't work.
Well, the idea is sort of your reward is being just in the pot of these 30 players to win the big bucks. And it's not as if, you know, Scotty Scheffler is one of these tournaments and he's not been rewarded for that, because there's been some lumpy checks floating around as well.
Yeah, so, sure.
We'll just have to agree to disagree there.
It's the status of FedEx Cup winner, isn't it? It's the status of season-long champion. If you've got Scotty Scheffler...
We'd be betting without. If he was off the front in the handicap, we'd be betting without Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah. We'll come to the bets. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's a much more competitive event and it is quite exciting in that respect. Yeah, I stay positive. I'll stay positive. It's a very exciting event. I've got three excellent tips for it.
Marvellous. Right. 72-hole shootout it is. 25th time at East Lake, there since 2004. What sort of player are we looking for here, Steve? When you go through the results, he's kind of a little bit distorted by the starts, right? I was trying to work out who has actually played well when you take away how it was structured.
Yeah, there's a lot of research that goes into this one. Fortunately, I'm still on Florida time, so I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning last night. It didn't really matter. That was my natural, that's my natural habitat at the moment. But yeah, we must mention course changes as well, Dave. It's not just handicap. We must focus on the significant course changes. So right. Eastlake Golf Club, Atlanta, Georgia, yeah, as you say, always been the home of the PGA Tour curtain closer. 7,440 yards, par 70, only two par fives. It was a par 71 last year. The 14th hole played as a par five. It's back as a par four this year. Last year's course form, miles more significant than any other course form. There were significant course changes before last year's event. Lots of trees removed, bunkers relocated, reshaped, mounds added, 18 new greens. So the track was completely transformed. It was like a new golf course for last year. We've got a sub-air drainage system in place, so we should get firm, fast conditions unless we get loads of thunderstorms. The forecast for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, some storms in the forecast. If they're short ones, they won't affect the playing conditions, but if we get long ones, they obviously will. And then, as you say, the handicap system's gone. We've had it since 2019. The lowest 72-hole score will win. Colin Morikawa would have won last year had that been the case. We've got sunny, calm conditions around those potential storms. Yeah, strong ball striking is still the key to success at Eastlake. 30 runners going to post.
Right. The market then... we are looking at, I think, I suppose the fact that we're only looking at 30 runners has probably been factored in the front of the market here as well, surely, because Scheffler is round about 6-4, 13-8. And then we've got McIlroy, Fleetwood, Ludovic Auber, Russell Henley, Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay, no Xander Schauffele. Of course, he didn't make the cut. I suppose... we're looking at a skinny one, Steve. I've got to ask you just straight off the bat, is Scotty Scheffler in the team?
He's not. He's not. And we were alluding to the caddy issues earlier. We're still uncertain who is going to be caddying for Scotty Scheffler this week. It didn't matter last week. He had a replacement caddy last week because Ted Scott's got some serious family issues to deal with. Scheffler borrowed Chris Kirk's caddy. And it worked out well, obviously. But yeah, I still think we'd much prefer him to have Ted Scott alongside him. They're such a good team. You know, will the magic of last week wear off after 1 week last week? I think it's much more likely that he has Michael Cromie as caddy this week than Ted Scott. It sounds like Ted Scott's got some serious problems to deal with. So, yeah, replacement caddy, rubbish price. I mean, I find it hard to get excited about that price. As you say, wasted effort last week in the BMW Championship. He didn't need to play in that tournament. He didn't need to put himself through the rigors of it. He didn't miss Memphis. So third week on the spin. I can definitely live without Scheffler. I mean, is it 13-8 top price? It just doesn't do it for me.
Generally sort of 6-4, 13-8. Listen, I mean, I can take the rest of the week off. If he's short of a caddy, what I think they're going at about somewhere between 7 and 10% of the winning purse. This is the week to caddy for someone.
Yeah. Well, last week's caddy comes in and wins $360,000 because of $3.6 million winners check. So, yeah, last week's caddy, yes, the biggest win he's ever had. Chris Kirk's never furnished him with $360,000. So, last week's caddy was cock-a-hoop. But I think it's also worth mentioning how the unfairness that we've alluded to already could eat away at Scheffler this week.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he starts getting behind, if he notices Jacob Bridgman, I keep going on about poor Jacob Bridgman. If he notices Jacob Bridgman's going to win the FedEx,
and it'll be saying, I should have had a 10-shot lead on this clown. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that unfairness can eat away him. He's a fiery character, so I think he's got a tough temperament test this week. I think Wacom Neiman is probably already been eaten away. We may not see Wacom Neiman this week in the team championship because he's been eaten away by this unfairness bug. $18 million bonus check. Wacom Neiman was denied last week. $18 million bonus check. I know he's not struggling for a few, Bob, but that's got to eat away at Neiman, I think. Yeah, I think Scheffler has got issues this week. He should have at least a 2-shot head start. Yeah, I even thought that wasn't enough given the season he had last year. He's won, he's undisputed season-long number one on the PGA Tour, and he's not even getting a head start. So I think he's got issues. I prefer McIlroy at the prices, but I'm not tipping either of them.
Right, that's good. I like that. So we're going a little bit further down the market. How many in the team?
Three, another three.
Okay, right. Who is the main selection then for the Tour Championship?
Ludwig Auber. Never. Never. Turn your back on Ludwig Auber. He's coming to the boil nicely, Dave. Eighth in the Scottish Open, 23rd in the Open, ninth in the St. Jude Championship, seventh in the BMW Championship. This is a Rolls Royce of a golfer slipping into top gear for Eastlake. He made his Eastlake debut last year. I think that's an advantage. No memories of the old course. Cluttering his mind, you know. He just knows Eastlake as it is now. He was the 19th best scorer last year. He carded four pretty humdrum rounds, but carrying an ice-cold putter all week. Didn't hole anything. From tee to green, this course really suits him. He's always been an exceptional driver. His iron play's gone up a level recently during this form revival. He was rolling his rock well on in the BMW last week. So everything's coming together for Ludwig. I think his second PGA Tour title of 2025 is coming on Sunday. You'll remember the Genesis Invitation in February. Glorious scenes. He beat an Elite Field signature event. I think he's going to beat another Elite Field this week. And bolster an already eye-catching record in Georgia, Dave. You must have noticed how well he does in Georgia. His maiden PGA Tour title came in Georgia, the 2023 RSM Classic. He nearly won the Masters on debut in Georgia last year. He nearly won the Masters in Georgia this year. You know, that seventh place finish does not flatter him. He had a triple bogey on the final hole. Looked the most likely winner on teeing off on 16. So I think Åberg's price is full of juice this week in the peach state, as I like to call it. The peach
state. Okay, but he's generally sort of fourth in the market. So I hear that. Right, here's the main pick then. Two more to come. Who else in the team?
Russell Henley, a Georgia boy who is not getting enough respect in his home state this week. Five-time PGA Tour champion. He won a signature event in March at Bay Hill. His form figures in the last two US Opens are 7-10. His form figures in the last two Opens are 5-10. He is world number four. He's finished in the top 20 in his last six events, including second spot in the Travelers Championship. He made his debut for America in last year's President's Cup. And on Sunday, he secured automatic qualification for the Ryder Cup team. He must be walking on air at the moment. He was 12th and 3rd in his first two Eastlake starts. He was the 13th best 72-hole scorer on his third Eastlake appearance in 2023. And then last year, the 4th best scorer in the field. He carded rounds of 67, 71, 67, 62. That 62 is the best round anyone achieved on the new Eastlake last year. So Henley loves the course. In the form of his life, he's won in Georgia before. He's had home state glory before in 2011. It kickstarted his career winning in Georgia. He won his first Korn Ferry Tour event. He's won three times on the Korn Ferry Tour. First one in 2011 in Georgia. So 14 years later, on the brink of a Ryder Cup debut, walking taller than ever, I think he can win in Georgia again.
I like that. So we talk about the big check swagger. We're talking about a Ryder Cup swagger this week.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been a great relief for Russell to, you know, secure automatic qualification.
You're on first name terms of him, yeah?
Yeah, me and Russ are tight. I mean, it must feel great, isn't it? Cause, you know, there's a lot of Ryder Cup conversation. Those that have already got their place secured can be a little bit more relaxed about life.
Right, one more in the team. Who is it?
It is Sam Burns, another lad who relishes competition in this part of the world. He's from the deep south. He won in Georgia on the Korn Ferry Tour, like Henley. Burns won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2018 in Georgia. He's won in Mississippi on the PGA Tour. He's won twice in Texas on the PGA Tour. Loves teeing up in this part of the world. Maybe an overdue sixth PGA Tour title is coming for Burns on Sunday. From the Masters onwards this year, he's been really impressive. He was fifth in the Byron Nelson, 19th in the USPGA, a playoff loser in the Canadian Open, an unlucky seventh in the US Open. Yeah, we mentioned Åberg's seventh place in the Masters is unflattering. Burns' seventh place in the US Open is seriously unflattering. You must remember that tough referee ruling he had, a key moment in the final round, that casual water. He was robbed by the referee, really. He had to play out of what looked like casual water. So seventh place in the US Open, great effort. Fourth spot last week in the BMW. Another excellent effort from Burns. Burns, brilliant in last year's FedEx Cup playoffs. He was one of the stars of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Looks like he's finishing with a wet sail again. He was the fourth best scorer in the 2023 Tour Championship, 13th best last year. I think he's going to get right in the mix. And final point, Dave, I think it's well worth noting how well he plays against Scottie Scheffler. I mean, Scheffler obviously dominating the market, the shortest price favourite we've seen in a while. Burns plays really well against Scheffler. He beat Scheffler in a playoff in the 2022 Colonial. He beat Scheffler in the semifinals of the 2023 WGC match play. Yeah, they're good friends. Yeah, Burns is not intimidated by Scottie Scheffler like many are. Yeah, maybe Robert McIntyre was a bit intimidated on Sunday. Yeah, Sam Burns doesn't have that intimidation. Burns is probably one of the few players that Scheffler wouldn't get angry about lifting the FedEx Cup this week. He wouldn't mind seeing his friend win the Cup. But yeah, Russell Henley might be another one that Scheffler wouldn't get wound up about. You remember Russell Henley and Scottie Scheffler in last year's President's Cup? They were, surprise partners, got like a house on fire. I think Burns plays well against Scheffler. That's the point I'm rambling away.
Well, I'm not sure, Scottie Scheffler being not angry about not winning $10 million. No. You'd have to be real tight friends, I think, for that. But an interesting point, yeah. Listen, if someone's going to win this golf tournament that's not called Scottie Scheffler, they might have to go toe-to-toe with him in the final round on Sunday.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the point I was trying to make. Much more clarity from you. I'm rambling away with jet lag. But yeah, I mean, if Sam Burns is in the final two ball with Scheffler, I think he'll perform much better than Robert McIntyre did on Sunday in the final two ball alongside Scheffler. And I feel the same about Russell Henley in a funny sort of way.
Right. I mean, when we record this show, I never like to know who you're tipping, Steve. And I thought he was going to go with Rory. And then at the top of the show, when you mentioned you thought it was shrewd that he swerved action two weeks ago, I was even more confident. He's not your pick. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I like the way he got the rust out of his system over the first 3 days last week. Played better on the final holes on Sunday. So he loves this course historically. He was the 12th best scorer last year. So, yeah, he's a three-time East Lake champion, but on the old layout. Yeah. I just couldn't get quite enough excitement about him. He's been very hard to judge lately. His mood has gone up and down a lot. There wasn't enough in the price for me to... Certainly not enough in the price for Scheffler and not quite enough in the price for McIlroy to be on the stake event. Now, I prefer mine at bigger prices, but yeah, I respect his chance.
But minerals required this week, Steve, right? We can't be signing with any players that might be, dare I say, a little bit flaky. I mean, I think if I'm sitting on a chair, I'll fall off it if Tommy Fleetwood wins.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Fleetwood, I suppose, has a decent bank balance. I mean, yeah, that's what it comes down to in the Tour Championship. There's such a large amount of money on offer, isn't there? So you'd be surprised if a poor man wins this week. Tommy Fleetwood, not a poor man, but yeah, obviously.
Any poor men among this 30 players?
I mean, Jacob Bridgman, I hate to mention, poor old Jacob Bridgman's going to hose up, isn't it? I mean, Tommy Fleetwood in short of a pound sterling. But you're right, so many battle scars. I mean, yeah, I'm glad that Tommy Tiger made me turn that final round of the Memphis event off, because yeah, it's pretty heartbreaking scenes to watch Tommy Fleetwood. It might ruin my holiday.
Anyone else who was kind of on the radar?
Well, I found it harder to get the British Masters list down, to be honest. No one on the radar in the Tour Championship, really happy with my three. I know it's a tight staking plan, but yeah, the each way term is very attractive this week in such a small field. The hardest one to get off the other one was Jesper Svensson. I toiled long in tonight about Jesper Svensson, but I can't justify having four picks.
Did you see that James Mason made a very good case for Colin Morikawa last week?
Oh, Colin Morikawa.
He's actually playing some pretty decent golf. It's maybe not quite happening for him on the green at the moment.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, yeah, he's not putting well. He's not putting well. And he's going through more caddies than we have hot dinners. I think Colin Morikawa is getting to the stage where his price is getting so big that you perhaps got to have a second glance, but he's not for me at the moment. I think he's lacking a bit of confidence. I think all the chat about him not being on the Ryder Cup team is a bit silly. Yeah, we could devote a podcast to the American Ryder Cup team. We probably haven't got time now, but Colin Morikawa has to be on that American Ryder Cup team. I think it's ridiculous to suggest otherwise, as has Justin Thomas. And, you know, I can't help talking about it now because I think it's just a quick point worth making. Keegan Bradley has a huge decision to make regarding himself. Yeah, I don't think he can justify it now. He's had a form dip. There's too many players that haven't qualified automatically that are world-class, proven Ryder Cup performers. And, yeah, I think it's been a bit indulgent picking himself now. I'm sure Keegan's a big sweet spot follower. And
what if he wins this week?
yeah, I suppose. Yeah, we'll reflect after this week. But as things stand, I think Keegan Bradley picking himself is indulgent now. And I think the likes of Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay, Brian Harman, Wyndham Clark's won a recent major. I mean, there's too many good players need a pick for you to do it, I think, Keegan, because you're giving yourself a headache by doing it. I hope you do it, because I'm obviously a Team Europe man. I think it'd be a mistake to pick himself.
Oh, you're just talking directly to him then, Steve. Maybe Ben, the producer, can clip that, put it on socials, and we'll tag in Keegan Bradley and see if he responds.
We don't get on well. Me and Keegan do not get on well. The only dealings I've had with him directly were quite unsettling. I was at an Open Championship many moons ago, and I was around the putting green, and his wife, or maybe fiance at the time, it's such a long time back, was sort of lurking around, very attractive woman. I was a single man at the time, I remember rightly, and I was sort of doing.
You had to qualify that bit just quickly for the rest of the story.
I was doing what every sort of red-blooded young male does, and glancing at the lady. And he was so hostile because he wasn't there at the time. He turned up at the putting green, and he gave me the eyes that he gives now in Ryder Cup, you know, in tough contention for titles. He gave me the psycho eyes, and I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't even talking to her. I was about 2 yards away.
You're staring out.
I wasn't doing anything remotely controversial. I promise you that. I wasn't doing anything remotely controversial. And he looked at me like an absolute psychopath, like he wanted to punch me. And I sort of shrugged my shoulders and said, go on, mate, settle down. Yeah, massively insecure. So my dealings with Keegan Bradley haven't gone well in the past. And
he saw you as a threat, Steve, a fine specimen of a man around the putting green.
Yeah, I think that may have been it. But yeah, he won't listen to me. But yeah, he shouldn't be picking himself.
Oh, God, I just imagined it in some weird world in which he remembers that incident. Right, as ever, our friends at SBK like to give you a 20% winnings boost on a tournament each week. So you can follow Steve in, make your own picks. If you find the winner, you will get a 20% boost with SBK. And it is on the Tour Championship this week. So there are Steve's three selections. If you want to follow in, you'll get a little Brucey bonus on top there. 20% terms and conditions apply on the site. Right, should we move on, Steve, to the livers? Now, I'll say it quietly because I think they're in the same building as us now, Live Golf.
They're the floor below, aren't they? Floor below.
It's the Michigan match play. I mean,
well, no, it's
I'm not
no,
massively it's... invested in this, but we could have gone chronologically officially on Wednesday. This one starts with the play-in.
I know, I do need to discuss this for chronological order purists. It is called the LIV Team Championship. I mean, you can call it what you like because it's sort of a crazy event, but it's the LIV Team Championship in Michigan. And I will address your point immediately for chronological order purists because I know we're going to offend chronological order purists by putting this one
you're
last.
An easily offended bunch, yeah.
Yeah, there's hordes of them out there, isn't there? But there is a play-in. This is what the LIV guys are calling it, a play-in. Not a playoff, a play-in on Wednesday between the two lowest-ranked teams in the LIV team standings. So we've got 13 teams currently, 13 teams of four currently in the LIV Team Championship, but one of them has to be eliminated immediately. So Majestics and Ironheads will be in a play-in on Wednesday. Match play contest, two singles, one foursomes contest. Whoever wins out of those two teams gets in the tournament proper, which doesn't start until Friday. So I feel like the tournament doesn't really properly start till Friday. That's why I went for the last leg of our previews.
Right, okay, we've got like the eliminator, match play, stroke play, quarterfinals Friday, semifinals on Saturday, and they're both match play, and the stroke play final is on Sunday. Listen, I'm going to be real, Steve. I don't care too much for it unless you're going to make a really strong case for some sort of bet here.
Sure. No, I'll just cement those details because it is very confusing. So you have the play.
Are they right to start with?
They are right. But I think punters will want to know that match play format is the same for the play-in as it is for the quarterfinals and semifinals. So you'll have 12 teams left after the play-in, and then you'll have six quarterfinals on Friday. So two singles matches, one foursomes match. The top seeds get to pick their opponents in the quarterfinals. So the top seeds...
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I didn't miss that bit. I like that.
Yeah, the top seeds can choose their opponents, and an added advantage for the seeds is that they also can pick the lineup. So the lesser seeded team has to declare their lineup, who's playing in the singles, who's playing in the foursomes, and then the higher seeded team gets to pick who plays against those that order. So there are advantages to being a seeded team, a top seed. And then we got on semi-final day, you'll have six quarterfinals Friday. They have three semi-finals. It seems weird, three semi-finals. And then, as you say, on the final, it's stroke play. Three teams left on Sunday. So this is a format change. This is why I'm lingering on it, because it's different to previous LIV team championships. We've had a LIV team championship every year of LIV, but there's been different formats, different courses. We had 2022 was at Doral, 2023 was at Doral, 2024 was at Marido in Texas. So we've got a new venue this week. We're at the Cardinal at St. John's, Michigan. 6,980 yards, par 70, only two par fives. So new course, new format. You know, previously, the four seeded teams went straight to the semifinals, only had to play 2 days. This time, the top teams play Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Live on ITVX, Dave. Not free on the LIV Golf Plus app, as I alluded to earlier. I was disgusted on Sunday when I found that out, because I like watching the LIV stuff on the phone while I'm watching the PGA Tour on the TV.
It's like, well, the same. How much was it to buy?
It's £29.99 for a yearly subscription.
All right, okay. For a week then.
Well, no, that's decent value, and then it's £8.99 for each individual event. So that's the horror story. I mean, if you just wanted to live in Indianapolis, £8.99. So yeah, I mean, it's obviously not a lot, but you know,
it's on ITVX,
but obviously then unless you've got two TVs on the go, you can't watch PGA Tour and LIV at the same time. So it's created a bit of a conundrum. The Saudis obviously running out of money. Then, you know, someone needs to pay for John Rahm's millions. There it is. I mean, I'm not paying a yearly subscription just with one event left this season. I'll perhaps do that next season. Sunny and warm conditions throughout. Calm for Wednesday and Friday, moderate breezes for the weekend. So, yeah, fascinating tournament, and I've only got one selection, Dave.
Well, listen, if anyone from the floor below is watching, I'm buzzing for it. Really looking forward to it. I've been waiting for this all season, Steve, this climax. Let's give you the show.
You're looking for some free merch, aren't you? We need some free LIV merch.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I can be bought. It's not a problem. Legion 13. Market leaders, the Crushers, the Fireballs, Talk, Four Aces, Stinger, Ripper, Smash, Range Goats. The list goes on. Just quickly, Steve, have you got a favourite team name?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Range Goats.
Range Goats is always worth a titter, isn't it?
The Ironheads and the Majestics are the outsiders here as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, they're obviously contesting their big play-in, as they call it, on Wednesday. Yeah. If you're tuning into the play-in on Wednesday, then you're a huge LIV fan.
If you're tuning in, you've probably paid the $8.99 or whatever it was. You're just trying to get your money's worth, I think. Right, who's the pick then? We've only got one team that we need to be back in here. Talk to me.
Yeah, only one selection. Keeping it simple. I mean, you mentioned the order of the betting there. I think it's ridiculous how close the narrow favourites are over the second favourites. crushes a contesting favouritism with Legion 13. I think Legion 13 should have a huge gap between themselves and the Crushers. They're the top seeds. Legion 13, the top seeds, the best team by a significant margin for me, much more so than the market suggests. They've won four of the 13 team events this season. Obviously, there's a team event running with every LIV event. That's more than any other team. That's with two youngsters who are still improving. You know, Tom McKibben, Caleb Surratt. McKibben was all set to become a PGA Tour star before taking the LIV Mega Bucks. Surratt, an elite amateur. You know, he joined LIV immediately from college. He had the world at his feet, still has. So you got McKibben and Surratt, improving youngsters, brilliant youngsters, with the support of John Rahm, Captain John Rahm, and unofficial vice-captain Tyrrell Hatton. It's just a formidable lineup. Rahm has been relentless, as we mentioned. You mentioned his consistency. He'll be very keen to end his LIV campaign on a high. You know, back-to-back playoff defeats in the individuals. He was gutted on Sunday, despite, you know, getting the $80 million bonus check. I think it will see a ruthless performance from Rahm this week. You know, he liked the idea of having the individual title and the team title. He shot 60 on Sunday, Dave. You know, 11 under par round on Sunday. You know, you look at how Legion 13 have peaked for this team championship. Rahm shot 60 on Sunday. Hatton shot 64. Surratt shot 64. McKibben shot 67. So I think you can suggest that Legion 13 are ready to do plenty of damage in Michigan. As the top seeds, they'll get to pick their opponents. I think it's a great advantage, that, because it's not like you're just definitely going to pick whoever wins that play-in. I mean, if Ironheads win the play-in, then John Rahm will definitely choose to pick playing the Ironheads, because their team is poor. If Majestics win the play-in, I don't think John Rahm will opt to play Majestics, you know, not least because they would have had a day of experience on the course. I think he'll swerve Majestics. I think he'll pick High Flyers. I think High Flyers are looking vulnerable. So Legion 13, big opportunity. Yeah, in every round, they're going to get to pick their opponents because they're the top seeds. Yeah, I think the price is great, but I know you're keen on me being enthusiastic on this. I don't think you should go bananas, Dave. I don't think you should go bananas. I think the price is great, but you shouldn't go bananas. I think they're 2-1 chances, but you have to be aware of the danger of illness. You've got four men you need to keep fit here, Dave, for 3 days. All right?
These are fit, healthy athletes. They'll be fine.
These are fit, healthy athletes, Dave, but the human body is prone to going down. It doesn't matter how fit you are. Look at Roy Castle. Look at Roy Castle, one of the fittest men on the planet. I won't get hung up on Roy Castle, but Google it. Never smoked in his life.
John Rahm's never smoked in his life or anything like that, has he? He's all right.
So I must qualify my comments. Yeah, it was disgusting what happened to Roy Castle. Never smoked in his life and got lung cancer. We're going back a long way, but. John Rahm, last year, LIV Team Championship, Saturday morning, went down with influenza, was replaced by John Catlin. This is the point I'm making. Yeah, John Rahm got replaced by John Catlin. Legion 13 backers in turmoil. Just be aware of that. I think they're a great bet. I think there are 11-4 chances that should be 2-1. But you have to be aware, before you go too bananas, that illness could scupper you. So, there it is. Gamble responsibly, Dave.
I'm happy to take that chance, though. We'll be all right.
Yeah, and stick them in your multiples. I mean, I've had an each-way treble. Rasmus Hoggar, Ludvig Aubert, Legion 13. I think that's a lovely each-way treble. I mean, just none of the other teams do it for me. I think Crushers are massively overrated.
Are we in a place here, Steve, where some of these teams could be perhaps a little bit less motivated than others?
Yeah. Since the majors have passed, you've seen Bryson DeChambeau's enthusiasm seems to have dipped a bit. You know, he's keen on getting his equipment sorted out, it seems. You know, he's got a Ryder Cup on the horizon. He's more interested in that, I think. You know, Charles Howe and Anirban Lahiri are weak links. So you've got half the team of Crushers are weak links, and they're vying for favouritism. There's no weak links in Legion 13. Fireballs, I think, should be second favourites. I think Fireballs are the most dangerous ones. Four Aces. I think Fireballs and Four Aces may fill the places. But Legion 13, just outstanding candidates. Majestics could offer a little bit of value. They seem to be getting their act together a little bit at the old stages. It's one last hurrah for Majestics. I don't know if you were following last week, but Henrik Stenson relegated. Henrik Stenson has lost his live playing rights. So this is one last hurrah for the old stages. You know, Stenson, Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter and Sam Horsfield. Majestics, they might steal themselves for one last hurrah. I could see, I think they'll win the play-in, and I think they could be the, you know, the value outsiders to nick a place. But yeah, keep it simple. All eggs in one basket. Legion 13.
I like it. And listen, I like the relegation as well. Like, if you want to just sign up for like a pension pot and a payday, you're still going to have to play good golf to stay there. So I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty controversial last year. Brandon Grace got relegated and then Stinger just signed him up immediately. Louis Oosthuizen wanted him back in his team. So it remains to be seen. But I think it's a different kettle of fish with Henrik Stenson. He was the captain of Majestics. It's a captain that's been relegated. Majestics in turmoil. But yeah, I think they'll have one last hurrah.
Okay, right, let's have a roundup of the selections then. We'll go in chronological order. British Masters.
Rasmus Hoggar. Rasmus Neergaard Petersen. Nikolai Hoggar.
The Tour Championship.
Ludwig Ober. Russell Henley. Samuel Burns.
And the Livers.
Legion 13.
Steve, it's been lovely to catch up. It's been a while. What you got coming up other than trying to recover from jet lag?
Yeah, that's it. Just get the body clock sorted out. I mean, I'm not particularly bothered about my body clock, but it's the children's body clock. You know, staying up late, getting emotional late at night. You know, they're all over the show. So, yeah, get the body clock sorted out, because if they go back to school on this body clock, I know we've still got a few weeks left of the summer holiday, they're going to get in trouble with the headmaster. They'll be 2 hours late for school every day. So, yeah, that's my main focus.
Okay, lovely stuff. Just before you go, the viewers have not seen the T-shirt, have they? Just give us a glimpse of it.
Oh, yes. It's a beauty, yeah. Yeah, it's got all the characters on there. I went off Goofy a little bit, actually. You know, I love all the characters, but Goofy, almost had a fight with Goofy. You know, talk about fighting Keegan Bradley. Almost had a fight with Goofy. Because he was just... My son wanted the autographs of the stars, you know. So he was getting his autograph book filled in. And then Goofy wouldn't give the pen back. He was doing all this behind, you know, really teasing Tommy Tiger, like, with the pen for way too long. And, you know, it got to the stage where I was thinking, well, come on, Goofy, you don't give that back soon. There's going to be trouble. So, yeah, lost a bit of respect for Goofy. You know, a bit of tomfoolery. But, yeah, Mickey was a good lad. Minnie's very nice. Sorry, we need to wrap this up.
We do need to wrap up. It's been a pleasure. You out there, thanks for watching. Do get involved. Like, comment and subscribe. Let us know if you care about what happens Michigan this week. It's all about the Tour Championship. Are you for or against the handicaps? Get involved. Get in touch. Let us know in the comments and who you're backing this week. Are you with Steve? Are you against him? How you been getting on? We will be back next week, of course. Do remember to gamble responsibly. Enjoy the golf. We'll see you next time.